Good morning, church family and ministry friends. This is Pastor Stephen Brooks. Welcome today to our online, internet, around the world church service, and I'm so glad that you are here today. And my friends, tomorrow begins Passover, and let me say happy Passover to you. Woo, praise God. Now today, let's honor the Lord and bring the tithe into the storehouse. And I also want you to get your Passover seed in by Monday, either on or by Monday tomorrow, praise God, so that we can honor the Lord during this open portal of blessings during the Passover season. Now, let me read a couple of scriptures to you. Galatians chapter 5, verse 14, "For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself." So you can sum up the entire law with that amazing statement, "You shall love your neighbor as yourself." Now, we also have what Paul wrote in the book of Romans, chapter 13, verse 9 and 10. "For the commandments, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not murder, you shall not steal, you shall not bear false witness, you shall not covet, and if there is any other commandment, are all summed up in this saying, namely, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no harm to a neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfillment of the law." My friends, when you honor God with the tithe, with just 10% of your increase, 10% of your income, any area that you're increasing, the tithe belongs to the Lord. When you do that, you are demonstrating your love to God. Praise the Lord. And of course, when you walk in love, you are able to keep all the commandments, because if you love your neighbor, you're not going to steal from him. If you love God, you're not going to steal from God. If you love your neighbor, you're not going to tell a lie about him. And if you love God, you're not going to look at God's word and say, "Well, I know it's true, but I don't want to do it." No, we are hearers and doers of God's word. So today, let's honor God with the tithe. And also, let's honor God with a special offering for Passover. And your Passover offering will be used to help us to continue to develop the property on the 14.5 acres by the airport. And let me take you out there right now and show you what is taking place. Happy Passover, everybody. Pastor Stephen here out on the property. We're making really good progress. The road's being widened. The unnecessary trees are being brought down and prepared for the loggers. A lot of good things. This is where the World Ministry Headquarters will be at. We're so excited. I want to say a big thank you for sowing your Passover seed. It is going towards the usage of the beautification and the land development of this property. And from this location, the gospel will be preached from all over the world, and you have a part in the harvest that will come from that. You have a part in the eternal rewards that are coming from that, and I'm so thankful that you're my partner, and I can't do it without you. So thank you for standing with me as together we step into this new chapter of great blessing and expansion. And as expansion is on this ministry, may there be also increase upon every facet of your life, your business, your career, your calling, your ministry. Praise the Lord. Amen. So my friends, I want to say a big thank you for your special Passover offering, because we will be able to use it to continue with the ongoing work that's being done there on the property. And we're going to make it look real pretty for the glory of God. So again, your tithe allows everything to run very smoothly in the ministry. Just like back in the Old Testament days, as the people brought the tithe into the storehouse, all of the priests, or what we could say the full-time ministers, were able to devote themselves to the work of the Lord. Back in the Old Testament, it would have been the study of Torah, the study of the law, so that they could minister and teach the people how they should live. And in the New Testament, the tithe coming from the old comes up to the cross. And the cross is the hermeneutical filter. It is the filter of what passes through and what is fulfilled by Christ's sacrificial offering of himself. But my friends, the tithe comes up to the cross and passes right through into the new covenant and becomes the anchor for the financial prosperity that God desires for all of his people to walk in. Oh, it's very, very exciting. So the tithe belongs to God. Bring the tithe into the storehouse. And my friends, go ahead and just bless the Lord today with your Passover offering. I want you to get it in either on tomorrow or before tomorrow. So anytime you want to get that in, and some of you have already sent it in, and we are praying over your Passover offerings as they're coming in. And thank you for allowing us to have what is shaping up to be a very, very beautiful property. And of course, we're working on the pad site for the new ministry headquarters and TV studio. It is a lot of fun to see what God is doing. And thank you again. Praise God. Heavenly Father, bless your people. Bless their special offerings. Father, their tithers. The tithe opens the windows of heaven. The offering determines what's poured out. I thank you, Father, for your generous, gracious people that love your word and respond to divine opportunities to sow seed. Oh God, multiply the seed that they're sowing. Multiply it back to them. Give them those harvest of opportunities. Opportunities to go through new doors, big doors, special doors that will take them to the next level of increase and prosperity, the next level of blessing and happiness that you have planned for them. In Jesus' name we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. Now, I tell you what, when Jesus hung on that cross and paid the penalty for our sins, and just before he died, he said, "It is finished. It is accomplished." And so everything that he was called to do, every prophetic fulfillment, every scripture that was speaking of him, he fulfilled every single thing, and he paid the full penalty for our sins. Oh, praise God forever. Now, what we want to do is we want to enjoy the provision that Jesus has made available to us. And the thing is that we need it while we're down here on the earth. When we get to heaven, everything is going to be perfect. And I was always told that when I was young, when we get to heaven, that's when we get all of the blessings and things like that. But the reality is that when we get to heaven, there's no more warfare, there's no more tears, there's no more sin. It's a sinless, perfect environment. But down here on the earth is where we need God's provision, is where we need breakthroughs, and we need to see the hand of God move in our lives. So let's talk about what Jesus has already done for us so that we can step into it. And we're going to begin today and spend most of our time in the book of Galatians. So let's jump back to the book of Galatians, and we'll hang out today in chapter 3, and let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that we're going into Passover week, and we just praise you that Jesus is the Passover lamb sacrificed for the taking away of all of our sins. And we thank you for eternal life in him. Now, Father, help us to understand as we read today, help us to understand what Jesus accomplished for us through these writings of the Apostle Paul, written under the inspiration of your Holy Spirit. Father, we receive it. Father, if it conflicts with any religious traditions that are false, no matter how sincere they may have been laid out or presented, let us go with the truth. And we thank you, Father God, that the truth liberates us and sets us free to walk in all that you have for us. Now, Father, we thank you. In Jesus' name we pray, and together we say amen. Woo, praise God. Hallelujah. Glory to the Lord. Galatians chapter 3, and let's begin today in verse 7. Therefore, know that only those who are of faith are sons of Abraham. Why? Why is that only those who are of faith are sons of Abraham? Well, the thing, of course, that makes Abraham special was the covenant that God cut, or the covenant that God made with Abram, changing his name into Abraham and swearing an oath to him, an unbreakable oath. Woo, praise the Lord. So the reason God did that is because Abraham was willing to believe God, and not just willing to believe, but also willing to obey what God said. There's faith, but faith is an act. You know, there was an old preacher, and he was from Great Britain, and many years before, he knew Smith Wigglesworth, and he told those that were in more of the modern era and never saw Wigglesworth minister live, he said, well, I saw him minister live many times, and he said Smith Wigglesworth, who was known as the Apostle of Faith, would run from one side of the platform, and he would say, faith is an act, and then he'd run over to the other far side of the platform and say to the other people on that side, faith is an act. So it's not just believing, it's believing and putting your feet to it. When God told Abraham, I want you to sacrifice your son, give him to me, and Abraham believed that God would raise him up from the dead, well, Abraham was willing to make that sacrifice and started the journey to get that process going. So, therefore, know that only those who are of faith are sons of Abraham. And the scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the Gentiles by faith, preached the gospel to Abraham beforehand, saying, in you all the nations shall be blessed. So then, those who are of faith are blessed with believing Abraham. Now, one of the reasons I teach a lot on the subject of biblical faith is because you cannot please God without faith. We know in Scripture that Abraham was called the friend of God. And the thing is that you and I can also become friends with God if you work out that friendship on a biblical path. In other words, being a friend with God is not just maybe reading your Bible all day, although that's a wonderful thing to do, but being a friend of God is trusting God when you cannot see it all. In other words, you have to walk it out. You take God at His word, and when you do that, you come into a relationship with God where you really get to know Him on a friendship level, and if you try to circumvent faith or try to say faith is not really that important, it's impossible to come into a friendship with God because God requires faith in order for us to please Him. So how can you ever be in a pleasing friendship type relationship when maybe you ridicule faith or you just think, well, it's not very important? You can't even be saved without it. You're saved by grace through faith. So we see that the blessings of God are received. They are appropriated by faith. Praise God. So then those who are of faith are blessed with believing Abraham. Mm-mm. Now, we're going to look at this book or this letter that Paul wrote to the church in Galatia. My friends, if all we had were the four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, and John, well, we would see a great sacrifice. We would see the sinless Son of God laying His life down on the cross. But in some ways, we wouldn't really understand what all of this was about because the Old Testament is what we would call types and shadows. The word type is it's a Greek word, and it means like a word picture. So in the Old Testament, you had real stories, real events, but they were prophetic images. They were types and shadows of things that God was like hiding from them back then. They were concealed, but now to us, they have been revealed. And you only get the reveal when you read the epistles, when you read what Peter wrote, when you read what John wrote, when you read especially what Paul the Apostle wrote, then you can look back at the cross and you can see the fulfillment of the types and shadows, and you can see also how that benefits you and how the blessing that was on Abraham and on the Jewish people now comes over on the believer when you're in Christ. Woo! And all of that was being accomplished when Jesus hung on the cross to pay for our sins. Praise God. Now, let's drop down to verse 13. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law. Now, let's stop there just for a moment Christ has redeemed. The word redeemed in the Greek is a word that was used often in the Greek culture when it was applied to the purchase or buying of a slave. And it meant primarily that you could buy out a slave if you wanted to. Let's say that there was a slave and he still had maybe a whole lifetime on his contract and he was bound in slavery. You could come along and redeem that slave if you wanted to. And then after you've redeemed him, that doesn't even mean that you have to keep him. You can just turn him free. You could say, hey, I just bought your freedom. Cost me a lot of money, cost me thousands of dollars or whatever the case is. And the person, I'm sure, would be thankful. But you could turn right around and say, well, I want to make you extra happy. Not only did I redeem you, not just to me, but you're free. You can do what you want now. Now, of course, salvation is a gift. We could never pay it back. In other words, the redeemed slave could say, well, I'm going to serve you now because you were so kind and loving to do that for me. And that's just a normal reaction, praise God. But my friends, we want to receive salvation. We could never earn it, and we certainly cannot pay it back. Even with the vast realm of eternity that lies before us when we go to be with the Lord, even if you tried to somehow pay for it every day for over a trillion years, it's a debt that cannot be paid. We just thank God for it. Amen. Okay? But it says that Christ has redeemed. He has bought, in other words, he's bought and purchased us out of darkness, out of sin. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law. Now, this is crazy. This is wild. You wouldn't think it's true, but it is. If you go to many of the classic evangelical commentaries and you look up Galatians 3, verse 13, and you begin to read what some of the commentators said back in the 1700s and back in the 1800s, and many of those commentaries are still widely read today by those in seminary and those that are being trained up in ministry, and it is stunning how many of the commentators, when it says Christ has redeemed us, they turn right around in their comments and say, this is what Jesus will do for us. This is what Christ will do for us during the millennium. And you think, no, well, hold on a minute. You're an expert in Greek and Hebrew, and you're a noted theologian, and you just completely, with rose-colored religious glasses, warped what Paul the Apostle said. This is not something that Christ is going to do. This is something that he already did. How do you know that, Pastor Stephen? Because I can read English. Christ has. Is has past tense or something way off in the future that hasn't happened yet? It's past tense. He's already done it. Where? At the cross. Woo! Christ has redeemed us. It's not something that he's going to do when we somehow get into the millennium. The millennium is not even really, in some ways, for us. I mean, there will be overcomers who will have assignments in the millennium, but for the saints who graduate on the glory, it's not like you're stuck here on the earth during the millennium. I mean, you've got the whole universe, which is continually expanding. There's probably some other things that you're going to want to do. Praise God. So these amazing things that Jesus has accomplished for us are meant for us to step into them now, because there's a lot of them. In some ways, you don't even need them later. Well, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law. One of those curses would be sickness and disease. Now, how in the world are you going to need that in heaven? I mean, there's nobody sick in heaven, and I don't know any theologian, even the cessationist, even the ones that maybe don't even believe in the virgin birth, who are really off the left end, off into the deep end of unbelief. I don't even think they would say if there is a heaven, there's sickness there. You couldn't even get that out of them. Praise God. But my friends, this is where we need to appropriate it, is down here on the earth, because it belongs to us. Now, Again, Christ has, it means he's already done it. Christ has redeemed us or purchased us. He's bought us out from what? The curse of the law. What is the law? Well, there's a couple of ways you could look at it. The law, oftentimes in Scripture, would be viewed as the Ten Commandments. And without law, or laws, as we would say, society can't function. In other words, if a society said it's okay to murder, that's not good because the one that even declares it could be the one that receives or on the receiving end of what basically would be lawlessness. So we have to have laws in order to have peace, in order to have everything go smooth. But the law would be the Ten Commandments. The law also at times in the Old Testament is referred to as the, what we would call the Word of God or the Old Testament, not just the first five books of the Bible, not just the Ten Commandments, but the entire writings of the of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms as well. But then, as we dig into it more and really where the weight of it would be, the law, viewed in the eyes of most Hebrews, would have been the Torah, the first five books of the Old Testament. So Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law. What does that mean? It means that God had a law. And if you broke the law and you did not make correction for it, you did not get a blood covering to deal with that violation, then the curse or the penalty for breaking the law, it's coming at you. It's on the move already, and it's hitting your direction. So Christ has redeemed us from that, from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree. And so Jesus hung on the lumber. He hung on the tree, hung on the wooden cross. And that's why God the Father had to turn and could not look at him. And Jesus cried out, my God, why have you forsaken me? Because he became so dirty, so full of the sin of humanity that God is too holy to look at that. And he turned away. So cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree. Now, why did Jesus do this? Why did God the Father allow his son to go through such an awful thing? That the blessing, what is the blessing? Just a nice word that you use when somebody sneezes. Oh, bless you, brother. Or maybe you're at work and you're around a bunch of unbelievers and somebody sneezes. God bless you. But nobody really in a secular world knows what that means. It's just a nice thing that you do when somebody blows their nose. But you know what? The blessing means supernatural ability to prosper. It is an empowerment that comes from God that allows you to go upstream, even if everything else is being swept downstream. That blessing is so powerful. All of the patriarchs wanted it. Their life was centered around an awareness of knowing how potent that blessing of God was. And when a great man of God stretched out his hand and began with a prophetic utterance to give a blessing, I tell you what, when it came out, there was nothing that could be done to stop it. And when Moses declared blessing over the 12 tribes, when Abraham spoke the blessing, I tell you what, my friends, it was powerful. And it still is today when a blessing is giving forth by the anointing of the Holy Spirit. But the blessing means that when it's on you, you have a supernatural ability that empowers you to prosper in every area of your life, in every area of your life. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. That the blessing of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles in Christ Jesus. So the blessing of Abraham, it can't go to Gentiles. It can only go to Gentiles who are in Christ Jesus. Now that's me. Woo! And I know that's many of you who are not Jewish. that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Oh, my goodness. My goodness. I want to talk about the promise in just a moment. But my friends, we see here that that blessing that God swore by an oath to Abraham and to his seed. Now, the seed was a reference to Christ. And to anybody now who is in Christ, that blessing comes right over to anybody in Christ. Think about the Jewish people. The word Jew, in the early formation of the nation of Israel, the word Jew was only associated with the tribe of Judah. It's just a shortened form of Judah. It's a derivative of Judah. And so you had 12 tribes, and Judah, of course, over a period of time, growing into what would become the largest of the 12 tribes. But then, after the death of Solomon, the kingdom of Israel was split. You had a northern, section and a southern section. 10 tribes in the northern section all went off into idolatry and went into captivity, Assyrian captivity. And eventually, the southern kingdom went into captivity as well, and that was primarily Babylonian captivity. But today, when we use the word Jew, we're talking about the people of Abraham, the descendants of Abraham. And there's a blessing on the Jewish people, an undeniable blessing. When you look at the very small size of the Jewish people in the world today, and you consider the nation of Israel and Jews also living in other countries, and you see the extremely disproportionate amount of Nobel Prizes that they win, and they're such a small group of people, 7.5 million, that's their whole total on the whole planet, but yet in areas of science and industry, in the area of arts or medicine, in the area of agricultural advancements, you see Jews at the forefront. And the word Jew basically means not just the people of Judah, it means the Jewish people. Praise God. If you were to ask a modern day Israeli, hey, what tribe did you descend from? Very, very few could give you a response outside of Judah. Most people just say, well, probably the tribe of Judah because it was the biggest one. So by, just by mathematical purposes, I probably came from Judah. Although there were others, though, who knew exactly the tribal descent that they come down from. You know, there's some people that say, well, you know, the 10 tribes became the 10 lost tribes. But, you know, even in the days of Jesus, when it talked about Anna, when she went up to the temple, and it says that she was a descendant of Asher. So, hey, I thought the tribes were lost. I thought they went into captivity and everybody forgot their ancestry. Not really, because for many of them, even when they went into captivity, they still kept their records and they still knew their tribal ancestry. Mm-mm. Praise God. It is very fascinating with the study of DNA. I've had my DNA tested, and Kelly's had hers tested. Kelly's father was a full-blooded Irishman, and you see that instantly reflected on her DNA, all of the European roots. And my ancestors came over from England. When they were in England, they used to live by the brook or the brooks where the water would flow, and that's how we got our last name. And so I can see my ancestry tracing back to Europe, to primarily UK. Same with Kelly because of her dad. Much, much stronger, of course. But my friends, the truth is that it's interesting that with DNA testing, there are some things it can tell you, some things it can't. In other words, if you're Jewish, it's going to pick that up, but you cannot, if you're a Jew, you cannot say, well, here's my DNA report. I filled out ancestry.com. Therefore, I want to speak to a government official in Israel. I want to do Aliyah. In other words, I want to return to the land. Well, they're not going to accept your ancestry DNA report unless you have a rare genetic trait which is found in any Jewish person who is a descent or a descendant of Aaron, which was the high priest line and coming down through also the priestly line. which is, you know, they were called the Kohen. And then you would have the high priest who would be over all of the other priests. But if you were a Kohen, and some Jews have that last name, C-O-H-E-N, then it's almost like 99.99% sure you're absolute Jewish. There's like no doubt about it. If you take a DNA test and it picks up that Kohen gene, there's no doubt about it. You are a direct descendant. And so they'll probably take that in Israel if you wanted to apply for Aliyah. But my friends, fun stuff to consider. But here's the thing. If you want that blessing that God swore to Abraham, and Abraham, Isaac, and then Jacob, and God making covenant with Jacob and with Israel, saying through you, the whole world is going to be blessed. And but you think, well, I'm not Jewish. All you need is two words, in Christ. If you are in Christ, that same empowerment, blessing that God swore to Abraham comes on the believer. If you believe it and receive it and understand it, whoo, praise God. And if you really realize that the blessing of Abraham is on my life, you, and that really gets in your heart, you'll rise up and start doing great exploits like so many great Jewish inventors, composers, scientists have done over the generations. Why do they have such good results? Their parents teach their sons and daughters, you're special. The blessing of Abraham is on your life. We're a special people. We are empowered to prosper. And if you grow up from infancy, hearing that taught to you, told to you, and the whole family celebrating that, you'll think, yeah, I'm meant to do something special. I'm meant to accomplish great things in life. But if you're Gentile and you grow up and you're told, well, we're just a bunch of nobodies. We don't really have any value. We're just a cog in the wheel. We're just here to maybe, you know, grunt through life or whatever the case might be, then you don't know. But I tell you what, two words, in Christ, changes your entire identity, and the blessing of Abraham is on you, and everything that Abraham walked in, which is a threefold promise blessing, can be evidenced in your life as well. Again, I'm not warping scripture. I'm not sitting on old dead religious traditions that want you to stay in a place of obscurity when God says the blessing of Abraham is yours. I'm reading to you straight from the Bible, that the blessing of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles in Christ Jesus, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Woo, glory to God. Many of you are finding out, of course, not only that you're saved, you already know that you're in Christ, you already know that, but you're beginning to realize, hold on a minute, that blessing of Abraham is on me. Mm-mm. And it sure is. It's all over you, but you need to understand it. You need to be aware of it, be conscious of it, and believe it. Mm-mm. That we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. So you have to take this by faith and believe that the blessing of Abraham is on me. It's mine. Praise God. It's mine because God's word says it is. What is the blessing of Abraham? What is the promise of the Spirit? Well, it is a threefold blessing that touches the area of spiritual. Number one, you have a walk with God. Abraham developed it through his walk of faith, where now God said that he is a friend of mine. Mm-mm. Look, when God says, hey, we're friends, we have an advanced relationship, we both understand each other, we can work together because we're working principles of faith. And I tell you what, God can do great things with your life because he can flow through you. Jesus said, without me, you can do nothing. And that is 100% the truth. But with him, all things are possible to him who believes. And the blessing of Abraham on your life, yes, you cannot just ride off in the mediocrity. Not when you know who you are. Mm-mm. You're going to ride off eventually. We all will. But I'll tell you, we'll ride off being a blessing everywhere we go, even up to the last day, the last moment. Praise God. Praise God. So the promise is, first of all, spiritual. A walk, a strong walk with God like Abraham had. And then number two, it's material. When I say material, I'm talking about Again, not religiosity. Well, that's spiritual material. Oh, stop it. No, it's wealth. You can't tell me that Abraham was poor. There was a movie that came out a couple of years ago. It showed Abraham like an old wore out vagabond, like dirty looking wore out clothes. I'm like, can't the movie producer read the Bible? What's so hard about reading the Bible? Abraham was very rich in livestock, silver, and gold. He was rich. He had material wealth. He was a cattle rancher. As far as I can see, the first cattle baron ever mentioned in the Bible. The men that are working on our land, doing the land development, they're all cattle ranchers. The loggers that are coming to get the logs, they're cattle ranchers. The guy across the road from us, he's a cattle rancher. A pastor that I know very well, Global Ministry, he's got a bunch of cows also, a whole bunch of Black Angus cows. And by the way, they all have Black Angus, all these ranchers that I know. And on the other side of the property, not just on the side of my ministry, on that side of the road, there's a rancher over there. On the other side, there's county land, all owned by the county because it's surrounding the airport. Well, I guess, Pastor Stephen, it's just empty land. Well, it is. It's very beautiful land that it is owned by the county, but they allow it to be used for agricultural purposes. So I've got cows walking over here too. More Black Angus. I'm surrounded by cattle ranchers. Now, I don't have any intention of going out and buying a cow. But let's not act like Abraham was a hobo. Let's not act like Abraham was poor when he wasn't. He was very rich in livestock and silver and in gold. And you can be too. Why? The blessing of Abraham is on your life. Close walk with God. The second thing he had was material blessing. That was wealth. And the third thing he had was the physical blessing. Well, I guess, Pastor Stephen, Abraham died at an early age. He must have croaked at the age of 38. No, he was way over 100, 175. That's doing pretty good, pretty good. And the blessing of health doesn't mean that you don't ever have health challenges, but the blessing of health means that you have a covenant promise, that the same promise given to Abraham that also extends over your children, over your wife, over your family, is that you're walking health. You'll be a believer that walks in health. Mm-mm. Praise God. Those, my friends, are the blessings of Abraham. Oh, now look at this. Galatians chapter 3, same chapter. Let's go to verse 29 and kind of summarize it with this one verse. And if you are Christ, now if you belong to the Messiah, lift both hands right now with a big smile on your face. And if you are Christ, then you, not the person next to you, look at you. You are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. You're an heir. Everything that God promised Abraham in that sworn oath of blessing, spiritual, material, and physical, touches you as well. Touches you as well. And if you are Christ, and obviously I know the majority of people that watch me are, so that would be you. If you are Christ, then you are Abraham's seed. Well, how can I be Abraham's seed? You're tied in because you're in Christ and you understand faith. Abraham was a faith man. He is the spiritual father of faith. And you understand it too. That's why you like my teaching. That's why you like faith teachers. Amen. Oh, we just lost a good one a few days ago. Dr. Jerry Savelle went home to be with Jesus. He graduated on to heaven. Amen. What a good man. An apostle of favor. An apostle of favor. But my friends, regardless, if you're in Christ and you're walking in faith, then those blessings of Abraham are wanting to manifest in your life. Don't resist them. Receive them. Don't say that doesn't belong to me. Jesus died on the cross and paid the price, wanting you to receive it. Let us not frustrate. Let us not frustrate the grace of God. Let us receive it and walk in them unapologetically. Well, Pastor Stephen, those blessings were just for the Jewish people. Well, if you're in Christ, they're now for you too. Mm-mm. And you're not going to get much more New Testament than the book of Galatians. How about this? How about this for New Testament? Let's go to the back of the book. Just before Jude and Revelation, let's go to the epistle of 3 John, verse 2. Now, you tell me if this is just for the Jews. Verse 2, beloved, I pray, I desire that you may prosper. Prosper. And that in the Greek denotes to have good success in your journey, and it denotes financial prosperity. I pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health, just as your soul prospers. There it is. There's the threefold blessing of Abraham. Prosperity, health in your body, and a close walk with God. Your soul is prospering. You love to pray. You love to meditate on the word. You love to worship God. Mm-mm. It's for you. It's for anybody in Christ. Well, Pastor Stephen, what do I need to do to have it really activated? Number one, you need to be aware of it, and now you are. Number two, you need to exercise your faith to walk in it. Just tell yourself, the blessing of Abraham is on my life. You should be expecting great increase to be coming to you from every direction. You should be expecting health to be surging into your body. Praise God. You should be expecting to have a sound mind and great decision-making ability. You should be expecting that your faith is working. It's working because you are a son of Abraham. Praise God. And then thirdly, what should we do? Let me take a drink of water. The third thing that you should do is emulate the lifestyle of Abraham. In other words, do the works of Abraham. Pastor Stephen, Abraham's blessings are mine. Yes, they are. But let's also do the works of Abraham. Abraham was a tither. Let's be tithers. Woo, praise the Lord. Abraham was a giver. If strangers showed up, he's like, okay, stay here. I've got a place to stay for you. And while you're here, I'm going to get some food going for you. You know, there was a pastor. His name was Roland Buck. And very well known. The book, Angels on Assignment, was associated with his life and the great angelic visitations that he had. But Roland Buck, in a conversation with an angel when he was taken to heaven in a vision, was taken to a library area of heaven. I think it was the Central Library. And he was shown a book about the entire life of Abraham, not just what's recorded in the Bible, but about other events in his life. And he was allowed to take that book, open it up, and read it. And he could see events that happened on the daily events of his life. And of course, he saw how Abraham was hospitable and he entertained the three strangers. But he said the more he looked into this book about the life of Abraham, he saw things like that happening all the time. He said, I didn't really understand that Abraham was such a giver, that he was always extending hospitality. Wow, he had a very giving spirit, praise the Lord. So my friends, let's embrace the blessing of Abraham and let's do the works of Abraham. Abraham was not just a talker, he was a doer. Let's honor God and let's operate in faith, praise God. Let's have the spirit of faith flowing in our hearts, believing God with every day, our faith being turned on and active and knowing that the blessings of Abraham are on us, flowing in us. Now, having understood that, let's look at this very quickly. Deuteronomy chapter 28. Deuteronomy 28. And my friends, all of these blessings are yours. Every single one of them. Are you ready for this? Now it shall come to pass, if you diligently obey the voice of the Lord your God, to observe carefully all his commandments, which I command you today, that the Lord your God will set you high above all nations of the earth, and all these blessings shall come upon you and overtake you, because you obey the voice of the Lord your God. So this contains portions of the Abrahamic blessing, and they are supposed to be coming all over you, and they're going to. Now, blessed shall you be in the city. Well, Pastor Stephen, I don't live in the city. I live in the country. And blessed shall you be in the country. God's got you covered. Maybe you want a house in the country. Maybe also you want a house in the city. Amen. Maybe you want a business in the country, but maybe you want to open another business in the city. Well, you can. You're going to be blessed in both places. Blessed shall be the fruit of your body, the produce of your ground, and the increase of your herds. So healthy children, praise God, safe and healthy deliveries of beautiful, perfect babies. Blessed shall be the fruit of your body, the produce of your ground, and the increase of your herds, the increase of your cattle, and the offspring of your flocks. Blessed shall be your basket and your kneading bowl. Blessed shall you be when you come in, and blessed shall you be when you go out. Mm-mm. The Lord will cause your enemies who rise against you to be defeated before your face. They shall come out against you one way and flee before you seven ways. The Lord will command the blessing on you and your storehouses. By the way, do you have a storehouse? Anytime you receive a blessing, you need to honor God with the tithe. Set some aside for an offering so that you can always prepare for an offering. And then always, always, hear me, always set some aside, even if it's a little, set some aside and put it in your storehouse. Put it in your savings. Praise God. Why? Because it says that God will command the blessing on your storehouses. If you don't have one, he can't command. There's nothing he could make a commanded blessing upon. Now, the blessing of Abraham, or the blessings of Abraham, are yours. You are blessed, and you're going to see these things really flow in your life. Make sure that you have a storehouse, and because it's plural, I would encourage you to have more than one. The Lord will command the blessing on you in your storehouses and in all to which you set your hand. So God will bless what you set your hand to. Again, you've got to have something that you're setting your hand to, some type of work that God can honor and that God can bless. God can't bless a lazy nobody who's not doing anything. You've got to have something that you're putting your hand to that God can bless. Praise the Lord. And he will bless you in the land which the Lord your God is giving you. So God wants you to have your own land. God wants you to have your own property. And that can even stretch into multiple properties, multiple locations. The Lord will establish you as a holy people to himself, just as he has sworn to you, if you keep the commandments of the Lord your God and walk in his ways. What are those commandments? I mentioned them earlier. You can summarize all of them into this. Love your neighbor as you love yourself. Love does nothing ill, nothing wrong, nothing harmful or hurtful to a neighbor. So if you're walking in agape love, you're fulfilling the commandments, and the blessings of Abraham are flowing in your life. Mm-mm. Praise God. Praise God. Then all peoples of the earth shall see that you are called by the name of the Lord, and they shall be afraid of you. And the Lord will grant you plenty of goods in the fruit of your body, in the increase of your livestock, and in the produce of your ground, in the land of which the Lord swore to your fathers to give you. The Lord will open to you his good treasure, the heavens, to give the rain to your land in its season, and to bless all the work of your hand. You shall lend to many nations, but you shall not borrow. My friends, there's nothing sinful or wrong about borrowing. It's just that God wants to get you into a better, more preferred position where you're in a place where you don't have to borrow, but you're actually in a place where you can even lend. You shall lend to many nations, but you shall not borrow, and the Lord will make you the head and not the tail. You shall be above only and not be beneath, if you heed the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you today, and are careful to observe them. Again, the Ten Commandments, all of the commandments, the five books of the Bible, the whole Old and Testament, the Torah, the prophets, the Psalms, all come down to walking in love. If you walk in love, you won't break the Ten Commandments. If you walk in love, you really love that person, you would never steal from them, not even a penny. Amen. Praise God. So you shall not turn aside from any of the words which I command you this day to the right or to the left to go after other gods to serve them. Mm-mm. The blessings of Abraham are on your life. Walk in faith, do the works of Abraham, and watch how increase in all three of these areas, spiritually, materially, and health in your body and those under your umbrella of protection, such as your family, all see that God's blessing, the same blessing that he swore to Abraham, is on you in Christ Jesus. Let me pray for you. Heavenly Father, I pray for everyone that's watching right now. So perhaps, Father, there's somebody listening who has even made a vow of poverty, but they had no idea that the blessing of Abraham is theirs and they're supposed to increase so that they're blessed to be a blessing. So, Father, help them to reverse that and to not connect with the curse, but and what is also outlined in the remaining verses of Deuteronomy 28 as being a curse, which is what poverty clearly is, and which what sickness and disease clearly are, but help them to connect with the blessing. Father, everybody who is listening with an open heart, help them now to connect by faith with the blessing of Abraham that belongs to them in Christ. Father, in Jesus' name, amen. Now say this, say, the same blessing that God blessed Abraham with, that blessing to empower is on me now. That empowerment to prosper is on me now. What a Passover! That's what Jesus paid the penalty for as he hung on the cross, so that we can walk as Gentiles in the same blessing that was on Abraham and on his descendants. Praise God. And the greatest of it all, and this is only available in Christ, is eternal life. If you want to go to heaven and have eternal life, that one, you've got to come to the foot of the cross and receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior. And if you haven't done that, I want you to pray with me right now. Just say, Lord Jesus, I repent of all of my sins. Save me now. Wash my sin away with your precious blood. Jesus, write my name in your book of life. Come into my heart right now. Lead me and guide me from this day forward. In your name I pray. Amen and amen. And my friends, he heard that prayer. Those of you that have prayed that prayer, Jesus heard and he has saved your soul. Mm-mm. Praise the Lord. Glory. Glory to God. Abraham's blessings are yours. Woo, praise God. It is a supernatural empowerment to prosper. Mm-mm. Some of you might be so excited you're going to go out and buy a cow. Mm-mm. Just make sure you have somewhere to put him. And if you live in a subdivision, make sure the city code says that's okay. I'm kind of playing around, having a little fun. Although if somebody lives out on a farm or a ranch, you might just do that. Now, let's grab the bread and the juice. We're going to take Holy Communion together. We're about to go into Passover. Grab some unleavened bread. Passover is also representative by the unleavened bread. Leaven was a type or shadow in the Old Testament of sin. So it's a time to get the leaven out, a time to live your life in a way that's pleasing to God. Amen. If something's wrong, get it under the blood, get it washed away. Praise God. So grab some bread and some grape juice. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the bread and the juice. Through this prayer, we set this apart now as being the body and the blood of Jesus. And Father, as we receive the Lord's body, We thank you that because we're in Christ, Abraham's blessing is ours. We thank you for it. We thank you for prosperity. We thank you for health in our bodies. We thank you for victory over enemies that the enemies turn and leave. We thank you, Father, for exemption from sickness and disease and healing for those that would need it. Oh, God, we give you praise. And most importantly, we thank you for eternal life in Jesus Christ. In his name we pray. Amen. Let's receive together. Amen. Aren't you thankful for the teachings of the Apostle Paul? How would we really have understood what Jesus did without the teachings of Paul the Apostle, as well as St. Peter, St. Jude, and John? Praise God. Father, thank you for the blood of Jesus. We thank you that we have a better covenant sealed with the blood of Christ. We thank you, Father, for forgiveness of sins. Let our love walk, our agape, selfless love walk, be at the forefront of our lives. As even as faith works by love, let us be walking in love, keeping all of the commandments, and enjoying the wonderful blessings of Abraham and telling others about Jesus. Thank you, Father God. We give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's receive the Lord's blood. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Well, there's a healing anointing that just kind of dropped in right now. Praise the Lord. If you need healing in your body, healing is the children's bread. You're a child of God now that you're in Christ. Praise the Lord. Jehovah Rapha is your healer. Praise the Lord. Father, I pray for those that are sick, those that would have even a diagnosis of having a certain disease. I thank you, Father, for healing. Healing in their bodies right now. Whatever you need, receive. Jesus had made provision for your healing. Glory, glory to God. Those with stomach problems, be healed in the name of Jesus. What's that disease? Diverticulitis? That's being healed. I'm probably not pronouncing it right, but that's okay. It's good to insult these diseases anyhow. They all are, you know, the product of the devil and sin. Not that you sinned. I'm talking about Adam's sin that let these things into the earth. But that thing has to leave your body right now. I rebuke that in the name of Jesus. Come out of that person in Jesus' name. Be healed. Again, that's diverticulitis, whatever that's called. That's being healed right now in the name of Jesus. Praise God. Praise the Lord. Take it by faith. Take it by faith. Hallelujah. Again, God's still working on stomachs right now. Receive your healing in your stomach. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Any spirit of gluttony that would be tormenting any child of God under the sound of my voice, I rebuke you in the name of the Lord. Come out. Come out of that person in the name of the Lord and leave them. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. My friends, it's not normal to get up in the middle of the night and empty the refrigerator through consumption. It's not normal to just have something that pushes you to where even when you're full, you just keep gorging yourself. That is a spirit of gluttony. It's leaving right now. Blessed be the name of the Lord. It's leaving you. Hallelujah. And it's leaving you. It won't come back. You're being delivered right now. Praise God. Praise God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. It's hidden itself. It had tried to hide in your life as if it were maybe a weakness or something. It was an evil spirit. Praise God. That's not always the case with everybody, but somebody just got delivered from a spirit of gluttony. God, we give you praise. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You understand that doesn't mean everybody's meant to be as skinny as a rail, but somebody, though, you had that and it was a real problem, you've been healed. Thank you. You've been delivered. Father, we give you praise. Thank you, O God. Now, Father, I thank you for prosperity in the lives of your people. I thank you for financial breakthroughs. Father, big doors open on little hinges. Let door-opening opportunities come to your people and help them to recognize it, because often the big doors are on small hinges. Even though it might be a small opportunity, those can lead to huge openings. Help them to recognize it, and I thank you that they will. Thank you, Father. This is Passover week. This is also a time of financial increase. Let financial wisdom, let the spirit of wisdom touch their minds now. Father, we give you praise. Father, there could be some that are listening. They've actually, in the past, they've ridiculed the walk of faith because they did not understand that even Abraham was a man of faith, and that's why he was celebrated and still is. But Father God, I thank you that they're making that correction. And I thank you, Father, that your people are going to go forward with faith, and some are even going to be touched even right now with the gift of faith to do what others say is undoable, to do what others would even call impossible. You're going to do it because God has called you to do it, and you have a heart to do it, and the gift of faith is released to you right now. Receive this, the gift of faith. Now, Father, we thank you for that gift reverberating within them when they need it, rising up in them when they need it, and they're going to get done what you've called them to do, because the vision is real. They have heard from you, and they need that extra support. So I thank you for the gift of faith being released into their lives to operate it, to operate as needed. Father, we give you all of the praise. We thank you. Your spirit is moving. Hallelujah. Father, bring your people out of debt. Bring them out of the threat of debt. Father, while it's not a sin to borrow, we realize it's not the preferred position. Father, as your people are sowing Passover seed, Father, bring them completely out of debt. Every credit card paid off. And I thank you, they will never become indebted again. They will become lenders. They will become lenders. Father, we thank you. We give you praise. They won't need to borrow anymore. We thank you for the overflow. Father, we give you all of the praise. Let angels be released right now to facilitate your escape out of debt. May angels be released right now. I release angels right now to facilitate your jailbreak from debt, from financial debt. You're coming out. You're coming out. And you won't have to go that way again. Hallelujah. And you won't go that way again, but you're coming out. I thank you, Father God, that the angels are working behind the scenes to bring the ability for the debt to be paid off, or for the debt to be removed, or however it's going to be done, but you're getting your people out of debt. Father, we thank you. This is a miracle year. This is a miracle month. This is a miracle season. Now, Father, we thank you. Bless your people. Let the oil of joy be their portion with laughter and joy in their hearts. We thank you, Father. And the Lord would say, open your mouth wide and he will fill it. The desire of your heart, present it to the Lord right now. And watch what God will do to honor and bless you. He'll lift you up and bless you because you're his child. Father, I thank you. Bless your people in Jesus' name. Amen. My friends, have a wonderful Passover week. I'll see you back again in a few days. Till then, may the joy of the Lord be your strength.